Okay, City Council meeting for Tuesday, July 9th, 2019 is called to order. Invocation by Pastor Kim Van Bremer, Orange Beach Presbyterian Church, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Pastor.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in the middle of another packed out tourist season, we pray for our town. While temperatures rise and traffic moves slowly, we pray for all of our residents, our tourists, everyone who lives, works, and plays on this island. And we pray for our city staff, for the firefighters, the law enforcement officers, for the people who run the art center, the people who care for the physical maintenance of the town, the people who make this city work and run smoothly. We give thanks, Lord, and we pray for them. Tonight, we also pray for our city council. We pray for each council person, and we pray for the mayor. May every word spoken in this room be heard with open hearts, and may every decision be made for the benefit of this city and all her residents. We pray this in the joy and confidence of a prayer said is a prayer received. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please, ma'am.
Councilmember Silvers is absent. Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Costa?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan?
Here. Entertain a motion considering tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda with five additional items, the first being approval of a liquor license for Weather or Not, the second, a resolution establishing transport service fees, the third, a resolution authorizing the purchase of CCTV equipment for the Orange Beach High School and Middle School portables, the fourth, a resolution authorizing a task order for a soil study for the wetland area south of the new high school, and the fifth, a resolution appropriating funds to the Gulf Shores Airport Authority.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Concerning previous minutes, a work session, regular council meeting, committee to hold, no objection to reading the minutes will be waived. Any corrections to minutes? The corrections minutes stand approved as written. Any answers by the council? Okay. Auditing of accounts.
Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interests are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in Swift Supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, I think we got a couple of presentations. Ken, you want to take it? Or who's running the show?
Let's, Chief Kimmerling, are you going to do the first one?
I can.
Okay, if you would. I know you will, but obviously the background of what it's for.
Thank you.
Wherever you are, sir. Oh, you go ahead.
Okay. Mayor and Council, this is a great honor for us tonight to present a couple letters of commendation to two young men who made a big difference in our community. I think anytime we can recognize people who actually make a difference that affects the lives of our citizens in this community, it's a wonderful day for us, and we should be thankful for their actions. So this is letters of commendation for Thomas Martin and Richard Woodward. On behalf of the Orange Beach Fire Department, I would like to commend you for your actions by providing a quick response to assist in the notification and removal of two residents whose home was involved in a rapidly growing fire. The residents were unaware of the situation, and your quick actions to notify them and assist them, both residents, out of the structure as conditions were deteriorating definitely led to a positive outcome for them. For that, you are to be commended. To show our sincere appreciation, I am presenting you with this letter of commendation and official Orange Beach Fire Department challenge coin. The challenge coins are presented to our department individuals who provide meaningful assistance during emergencies to the community in conjunction with our response. Your immediate response to a crisis without hesitation provided quick, critical actions and showed true concern for others. Our community is fortunate to have individuals such as you who do not hesitate to help others in their time of need. Once again, thank you on behalf of the department and the community for your willingness to come to the aid of others.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. It's always great to have a recognition like that where everybody comes out of a house fire very safe. So we appreciate your quick response, and thank you, Chief, for doing that. The next two recognitions are pretty unique for our area, and so I'm going to go with the first one in honor of Michelle. So, Michelle, raise your hand, and as we finish this, I'm sorry.
There she is.
Oh, we're going to play a video? Or, oh, okay. So, watch the screen, and I will read you what is going on. Certificate of recognition to Michelle Russ is the Director of Sales of the Gulf Shores Orange Beach Sports Commission. She serves daily in the critical role of marketing our area on a national and at times global stage in the ever-growing and competitive sports tourism market. Her dedication and passion for her role, Sports Commission staff, and leadership are obvious. In 2018, Michelle's sales division helped Sports Commission attract 155 events to Orange Beach and Gulf Shores, resulting in 114,786 room nights and a $118 million economic impact. Her professionalism and collaborative attitude resulted in being honored by the National Association of Sports Commissions, now rebranded as the Sports Event and Tourism Association, with the Game Changer Award at the organization's 27th annual symposium in May. The newly anointed Game Changer, Michelle Russ, was the only female finalist for the prestigious award, and now the City of Orange Beach commends Michelle Russ for this distinction among her competitive peers and for raising the bar for Pleasure Island as a whole. Now, therefore, on behalf of the mayor and council, we recognize Michelle Russ, a proud Orange Beach citizen, for her outstanding service to the City of Orange Beach and look forward to her future successes. Take a picture, Michelle. Michelle, just stay there. And Beth, if you would, go join her. So this next certificate of recognition is for the entire organization. Whereas the Gulf Shores and Orange Beach Sports Commission is a partnership between Gulf Shores and Orange Beach Tourism, the Coastal Alabama Business Chamber, and the cities of Orange Beach and Gulf Shores. Whereas in 2007, the Sports Commission became a department within the Gulf Shores Orange Beach Tourism, and in this role, the Commission works tirelessly to bring quality sporting events to Orange Beach and Gulf Shores. The Commission has made a noticeable impact in stabilizing our year-round beach economy by helping to grow the shoulder seasons. And whereas the importance of the sports tourism market became apparent after the 2010 BP Deep Horizon oil spill, when sporting events were one of the only market segments that did not cancel trips to the Alabama Gulf Coast. And whereas in 2018, the Sports Commission attracted 155 events to the Gulf Shores Orange Beach, resulting in 114,786 documented room nights and a $118 million economic impact. Whereas the Commission's outstanding track record was recognized by the National Association of Sports Commissions, and they are named the Sports Tourism Organization of the Year for populations under 500,000 at the organization's 27th annual symposium in May. The Sports ETA judging panel noted that the rigorous selection process for the award that the Gulf Shores and Orange Beach Sports Commission stood out among steep competition and said it is clear they are doing big things in their community. Whereas the City of Orange Beach commends the Sports Commission on this outstanding accolade, and now therefore, on behalf of the Mayor and Council, we honor the Gulf Shores and Orange Beach Sports Commission for its outstanding contributions to the City of Orange Beach and look forward to future successes.
Very, very hard.
Yes, absolutely. Congratulations, Beth and Michelle. And I know Herb's out of town, but the entire association and the sports commission, we've had some really good years. We've had a lot of success, a lot of really good opportunities, and a lot of challenges. But these are really big national awards that, I mean, when you talk about 500,000 and under, so that's a lot of competition.
Yes.
So I think that's a very important thing for us to keep in mind nationally. So congratulations.
And Mayor, if I may, I'd like to introduce a couple of people. First off, I've got Joe Savage. He is with Roads of Hope, and he's got some very special guests he'd like to introduce to you guys tonight.
Hello, Mr. Mayor and City Council, and some of you, many of you I recognize, as I'm down here all the time and live in Baldwin County, but I have an organization called Roads of Hope. And let me tell you first what we do, and then I'll introduce the special guest because I think it will make it a little bit more meaningful when you realize what some of your citizens are doing for some kids. And that is, over in Ukraine and Moldova, that's ground zero for human trafficking. I've been here and actually spoke of that before with some guests. For orphan boys, they will age out of the orphanages at age 16. After that, they'll go to what's equivalent to a trade school, if they so choose. Well, the economy stinks. The country has corruption. You can't get anything done. Limited education. And so for these kids who have no one, as they enter into the workplace, they end up in a really bad situation, usually with bad people or very poor-paying jobs or what have you. It's so bad, in fact, that 2 out of 8 will end up being labor trafficked somewhere in the world. 4 of the 8 will end up dead in less than 5 years. So we brought 19 orphans over on 4th of July. We do this every summer. We have 11 staying in host families scattered across the southeast, but 8 are with me for a whole month until August the 6th. And we always make it a point to bring them to Orange Beach for part of that time. And here's partly why we do that. Many of the churches in Orange Beach help us and are involved with us, but also just the obvious beach and the fun that's here, just like everybody else trying to come to Orange Beach, right? But more than that, or just as equally important, are the businesses and the individuals who help us year-round. And Mayor and City Council and all citizens here in Orange Beach, I cannot thank you enough, because the kids I'm about to have stand are the kids that are on the, they're in jeopardy, but yet we bring them together. Y'all pour into them for several days, and we're just trying to make a difference in their lives. I want to teach them about America, because they don't understand. They may have freedom, but they don't have it like we have it. And so we went to the battleship yesterday, Air Museum a couple of days ago, and tonight, if y'all, by your graciousness, and I know we took some of the seats here, so we won't stay very long because we have some other places we have to be, but I wanted them to see and explain to them, here's the mayor, here's elected officials, and here's people of a city where everybody has a right and everybody has a say, and that's how freedom really works. And so thank you for representing the United States tonight to these 8 awesome young guys, ages 4, 11, everybody else 14, 15, 16, and I'll have them stand here. If I'll have the guys stand up. I love them. I ask you to pray for them. And as we teach them the ways of the Lord, as well as what gratitude really means and what freedom really means. So thank you, thank you, thank you. From Mayor Kennan to Ken Grimes and Chris Litton and everybody else who's been helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
Joe,
I failed to mention this. This is the main thing I said. The fun boats jet boat, Jody Williams, Bellagio providing us meals, Ofranco's providing us meals. The wharf providing us fun activities with Jim Libby and Alligator Alley with Wesley Moore, and I could probably mention a lot of other people. So thank y'all.
Welcome. Before you leave, I'd like to do something. I've never done this in the middle of a council meeting, but I want to pray over these kids before they go, just because that's what we stand for in the city. So if everybody just bow their head for a second. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these young men being here, and I just pray your hand, your Holy Spirit, go in front of them and guide their lives. Protect them. Give them opportunities they don't even know lie in front of them. And it's in your faith and the love of Jesus we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank y'all very, very much. Find us on Facebook.
Joe, thank you, buddy. We know what you put into this. Thank you. Thank you, buddy.
Mayor, if I may, I'd like to now ask Ryan Sherrier to come up with Operation Reconnect. He's got something he'd like to say.
Good evening, Council Mayor. Thank you, Chris. You guys know I like to come bring presents. I do have some presents this evening, but before I get started, I'd like to have two ladies join me as well. Michelle and Sarah, please. Just wanted to come say thank you guys for all of the support that you've given Operation Reconnect over the years. The families that we're able to bring down here during the weeks that we host in the spring and the fall, it's just been amazing. I know some of you have been able to read some of those emails and letters personally from the families. We'll continue to share those as we go. I've said this before, this is not just Operation Reconnect. This is the entire community of Orange Beach. And what I'm about to do tonight is not to dismiss anybody's support or anything they've done for the organization, but as you guys know, there's always a few people that take the lead, kind of rise above the rest. And so I'd like to introduce Michelle, the CEO of Meyer Vacation Rentals, and Sarah Kuzma, because I'm going to present them with an award because of their outstanding efforts for Reconnect Week. They've been involved with Reconnect since day one, but I would like to compare their efforts to the special forces of the military. They work at night. You don't see what they do, but I promise you, you give these two ladies a mission, and they will get it executed. But some of the most selfless, generous, and strongest women I've ever met in my life, and very fortunate to have them part of our community. So with no further delay, I did bring the big guns tonight.
Literally?
Literally. Watch this. Hold on.
Hope it's not a snake.
Yeah, right.
I'm nervous,
Brian. I'm going to start with the council so you guys can all put your hands on it. There's only one, so it can't be in your office the entire time, sir.
Oh, Chris, look.
Yeah. I'll take a case.
Yeah.
It's not live ammunition,
that's
just so you know.
Cool.
This expended A-10 Warthog 30-millimeter shell is presented to the City of Orange Beach for support during Operation Reconnect Spring 2019 week.
Thank you,
that's
Ryan.
Nice.
I also have one for Michelle.
That's no joke. That is exactly right.
That's business.
And none of this can happen without logistics. I got really excited when the shells came in, and I gave Chris Litton his already. His is not engraved, so he's probably a little jealous right now. But I promise you, we will get that engraved for you. But these are real A-10 shells that have been expended from a military aircraft. The tips are actually custom machined and put on there. Again, I love giving gifts. This is something you cannot buy in a store. Maybe we can put it next to that American flag. But Operation Reconnect cannot happen without this community. You guys know that. We know that. And just wanted to take a moment and put the spotlight on people that have really, really contributed. And with that, the Reconnect week, spring week is over, but the fall week is just beginning. September 21st through the 28th, it is going to be our goal to bring 100 military families here. We fell a little short of that in the spring. As I said before, it's one family. That's all that matters. But everybody in this room can make that happen. Let's bring 100 military families here September 21st through the 28th. I will send Chris an email with all the details. the only thing that I could ever do is please ask, send that to whoever you may know that may be able to contribute or support what we're doing that week, and let's bust that 100 family in 1 week number.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
And I'm going to say one more thing before I take off. In the last few weeks, the city of Orange Beach has done the youth sporting events, the clay shoot, the rifle shoot, and the archery. I had a very personal, touching situation, and I just want to pass that along to you guys. I sent Chris a text message as soon as I heard the information. I have a 12-year-old boy who is being raised by his grandfather that lives in my neighborhood, and I brought him out to the shooting event that we had. A couple days later, his grandfather came over to me with tears in his eyes and said when he came home that day from that event, from shooting, I think it was 35 to 40 different weapons all the way from World War I to very large guns, the 12-year-old boy went home to his grandfather and told him it was the best day of 2019. I don't care what it cost. Let's keep doing it. That one day, 5 hours, is probably going to change that child's life. So please, let's keep doing it. The impacts are going to be immeasurable. Again, it's all about the youth in our community. Thank you for the time this evening.
We give you our...
Wow, thank you, Ryan. That kind of segues into, I was wanting to give a shout out and a thank you to all the people that did help with our shooting sports program this year. I've got a little video here playing of some of the footage from our shoots that we had this year. We couldn't have done it without all the help. We had so many different departments and groups come in to give us a hand with this. It takes a huge effort. But I wanted to thank the Orange Beach Police Department, the Orange Beach Fire Department. They were there at each of our events. Coastal Resources, their whole crew. We couldn't have done it had they not done the work on the property to allow us to do this. Public Works, especially Anthony Hood, who sprayed for yellow flies, which made it possible for us to even be there this year. It was unreal. The front desk staff at City Hall and the Recreation Center for taking registrations, and the Rec Center for letting us use their gym to hold the archery shoot. Aaliyah, the Marine Division, Scott Lee came out and assisted. Baldwin County Sheriff's Department, Mike Miyagi, their chief instructor, he was at all of our events. They're doing it the whole time. We're just really working it. The Alabama Department of Conservation, Wildlife, and Freshwater Fisheries, Daniel Musselwhite and Jeff Brown, they are the shooting sports coordinators, or the hunter ed coordinators, and came down and assisted with all the shoots. Custom Truck and Accessories contributed immensely. They brought the big gun out and provided all the ammunition for that. I absolutely could not have done it without the logistics staff. They really, really put the effort in to get it done. I couldn't have done it at all without them. And then all the other parents and volunteers that came out this year and took part and just assisted with it, just thank everyone. We had over 100 kids come out and learn marksmanship skills and, above all, how to be safe with firearms and when using archery. It was a really, really good year. So thank everybody.
Thank you, Chris, for organizing. We are ready for the big one.
Good.
Yep. There was something else. I just went blank. Chris, was there anything else that me and you talked about that I was supposed to bring up?
No, sir. I don't think so. That was all that I had.
Man. Okay. Moving to unfinished business under ordinances. Second reading. Ordinance amending ordinance number 172. The zoning ordinance Caribe East and West.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second. We have discussion.
Now we have discussion.
I just want to bring to your attention the information that the city planner, Griffin Powell, sent to you earlier. The last time we had discussed the PUD modification, there was discussion about a temporary parking lot on the far east property on the overall development. You can see in this picture that this is the proposal that Mr. Wireman has provided. He's also provided a letter that is requesting this temporary parking lot to remain in place for 3 years. If at the end of the 3 years the tower is not in plan review or is permitted, he will remove the parking lot and restore it to natural condition. This was the only sheet that was provided. There was no landscaping proposed with this proposal. Perhaps with the 3 years, landscaping may or may not be appropriate, but this is what staff is hoping that you will direct us to determine whether or not it would be acceptable for us to permit this temporary parking lot.
So the parking lot's not tied to the permits of the two buildings?
This would be a standalone permit. And this is being, this would be considered a temporary, you're granting a temporary approval for this parking lot.
I thought the parking lot was to, for the construction.
Oh, no, this is also, I believe, but I'm, is Mr. Wireman here?
Right next to you.
This is the same thing we did for turquoise. When we give him a temporary parking lot down the road.
I believe Mr. Wireman needs it for his actual units,
it's
correct?
It's not for the construction, then?
No, no, this is for overflow parking.
I just thought it because
so
it came with the
why is
other,
it why is it
I
tied
it.
To the east building or the west building?
It's not. It just came up during the discussion. During the discussion, Mr. Wireman stood up and asked council to consider allowing him to put in a temporary parking lot, and you all wanted to see a plan, and now we're asking you to direct staff whether it's acceptable, and we will permit separately from the buildings, from the tower buildings. But he has, like I said, submitted a commitment to remove in 3 years if the easterly tower has not been permitted or is not in plan review.
Okay, so I guess I'm asking, what does the east tower have to do with this parking lot?
It's located on the same property. That's where the east
okay.
tower is to be located.
Yes.
Okay, first of all, we have required others to landscape, and I think we talked about this at planning. So there should be a landscape plan.
Did we require landscaping on the turquoise?
We did.
The turquoise had a lot of existing plants, the existing natural vegetation. There really wasn't any room to plant any plants on the turquoise
the
temporary lot.
Well, some natural vegetation was there, but the berm was there, and I think Vince is here.
It was a berm and a
Didn't
fence
we
primarily.
Did we put some landscaping? Yeah, I think we did put some landscaping on it. However, that's right on the road. This is set back from the road. So,
don't bother me there. I don't care if it has landscaping or not. I don't see put the car somewhere and off the road.
Well, we just required the wharf to landscape their parking lot. We required the turquoise place to. I think it would be nice to just have something in street side.
On the south side mm-hmm. of the parking lot.
Across the front?
Mm-hmm.
And Larry, can you do that?
There's a bunch of palms out there right now that are not showing.
Can you put something between them?
Kind of a narrow area. I'll be glad to do it, but there's got lots of palms out there right now.
And then in the columns and the gate still standing too?
Yes, they are.
So just so we could file that plan. Well, I think that you can work with staff on that, but okay. File what's already there in a written plan so that it's in the file, and so we're not making any exceptions.
We'll require that as part of the permitting. We can get existing and then maybe just fill in some
See
open
what it
areas.
Needs. It may need nothing.
Yeah.
It's just that a landscape plan was not filed.
Is there not? Does the wetlands extend all the way over in front of it? I can't remember. Is it wet in front of it?
I don't think so because those homes were there.
That's right.
Driveway that goes in.
Mm-hmm. I know. I remember where the homes were, but out front.
It's like a, it's a beach, isn't it? Don't you have a little beachy area there, a little bit?
Somebody bring up a picture. We got, oh, we got 52 satellites up there. We ought to have a picture somewhere.
To the west. I think the wetlands you're thinking about are to the west.
Maybe it is.
West.
The
internet here is a lot faster than it is in my house.
No, to the go back. Chris, it's over that way. Yeah. See, it's to the right of the tower.
See what I sound? The wetlands are in front of it there, and that's grown up.
Can you zoom
in?
Yeah,
it is kind of.
So it's almost, you can't even see the parking lot from
there
the road.
You go.
And that's why I say what it already exists may be enough, but if we're going to require people to landscape, I think that we could look at the written landscape plan. It may be enough what's already there.
I don't see as much on the south side as there is on the west.
Is it like this? Outer.
Will that be lit, Mr. Wireman?
I'm sorry?
Will that be lit?
We will light it. We'll have to.
Yes.
If you've been out there last week, I think there's a lot of cars out there. We'll light it. Lighting's not as big a problem as it used to be. The LED lights are considerably cheaper in the long run.
Okay, well, tell you what, can we just, we'll give, Kit knows what we want, what we respect. Let Kit figure it out.
Just want the landscape.
Y'all good with that?
File.
Okay.
That's good.
Y'all are good with it, then we can proceed with permitting. It will have to go through site permitting, and plans will need to be submitted.
Okay.
Y'all good with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion on this, guys? All right. Will you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Silvers is absent. Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. Moving to new business under miscellaneous, it's additional approval retail common carrier liquor license application, B&D Marine, whether or not.
Move to approve the liquor license.
Second.
Discussion?
As long as he doesn't run me off of any spots in the Gulf, he can serve alcohol in his boat.
Just pull up the shade.
This is yours?
That's, yeah.
Have you seen the boat? It's bigger than the city hall.
It is amazing.
It is amazing.
You haven't been on it. You certainly need to go. It's an experience.
I'm messing with you.
We just now got enough air conditioning. They had three times as much parts as we had air conditioning.
Well, good luck with it, buddy.
How big is it?
It's a nice addition. We appreciate it.
The bus is 93 feet.
Wow. Thank you.
Good luck with it. I know you do well.
How many can you fish on it?
Right now, we're fishing about 80 people on it. We're trying to stay in 60 right now. We're trying to get everything kind of balanced out. And then just for the city records, we've moved all of the boats to the east side, and we're parking everything over there, and we got rid of the other boats, so it's all moved the parking with that out. But we've actually had more parking at Santa Rosa since we made the change than we've ever had before in the last 500 parking spots. It's been really a blessing that we kind of got it done that way. The boat's working out great.
Good. Everybody good with that? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving to resolution reappointing members of the Construction Board of Adjustment.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I had a discussion question, please. Mrs. Bradley's term shows that it expired in April. Is that correct? So are we reappointing you?
It's not this board.
It's not what?
It's the Board of Adjustment.
Oh, it's not this board.
Yes.
Please forgive me.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution declaring certain personal property surplus unneeded. Authorize the mayor and city clerk to dispose of it.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizes a franchise renewal. Terry Dixon, doing business A1 Taxi Service, city limits of Orange Beach.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing franchise renewal. James McAdams, doing business Blue Dolphin Taxi, city limits of Orange Beach.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of professional services agreement. Braxton Counts, lobbying services.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion?
I never got an email. I thought we were going to get an email.
I don't know. Can't answer that.
You told us you were gonna...
I know, but I thought everybody got one. I got it, and I thought it came out, and nobody said they didn't get it, so I assumed everybody did get it.
And I asked them earlier, had they got it? I just never got it.
I got one about the renewal. I didn't get one about a summary of anything from the year or anything like that.
Okay, then that's a glitch somewhere, so it has to be blamed on me because Glenda would never make a mistake.
Ever.
Here she is. All right.
But Glenda, did I make the mistake? Do you know where that came from? Yeah, okay. See, I told you she couldn't make a mistake. So. Y'all tell me what you want to do. You want a motion to defer, or do you want to just go on through with it?
I'm comfortable going on through, but I would like.
But we do have
I would like the info.
We do have the info somewhere.
Yeah.
So I apologize. That's all on me. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? This is an addition. Resolution establishing the fee for an emergency medical treatment and transport services.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the purchase of a CCTV system equipment for the Orange Beach Middle Beach High School and Middle School portables, $10,850.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of task order with Geocon study of the wetland area south of New High School, $4,500.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor? I'm sorry.
What was this?
The wetland area that's on.
That's behind south of the new high school.
Yeah. It's a 6.5 acres, and we want to look at can it be filled?
Oh, okay.
We're trying to dig deeper and try to see what it would take and can it be filled, give us the idea of options.
Finally. We have our own bog.
Yeah. Filling that 6.5 acres is critical, though.
Yes.
It is very much needed. So, okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution appropriating funds to Gulf Shores Airport Authority, $14,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion.
On this, this will come as needed, correct? So is that right, Scott?
I'm sorry.
This $14,000 will come when you're ready for the grant and the matching funds.
Yeah, can we spend it?
Yeah, so up to.
So
they, as the airport authority,
right.
have to go after the grant. So this
yes.
is up to. So
that's
we're committing
right.
our funds, but we may not have to spend it immediately until they get ready for it. That's what I'm saying. So
yes, that's right.
Heads up.
That's good.
Any timeline on the new tower? Anything you can tell us about it? I know that we talked about it, and we a lot of gratitude to Senator Shelby for it.
I have some good news on that.
Scott Fuller, JKA Airport Authority.
I appreciate it. Sorry I haven't been here to brief you in a long time, but we do have a competent airport authority member on the city council. So where we are on the control tower, we for the last 4 years have crafted legislation with the FAA to force them to do new control towers. And because they've been doing continuing resolutions rather than improve a budget, it's died every year. This year we got a 5-year program approved. It included a law that they have to consider new towers. I have it on good authority from Washington that we will be the first one in the country. Being confident of that, the authority 4 months ago authorized $500,000 to design it. So we're halfway through that process. We do expect to get approval. Application is actually going in Friday. They have 90 days to respond. We meet the we exceed the criteria needed to qualify 3 times. So we're very confident we won't have a problem. The funds were allocated in the federal budget to do it. So it's like I say, we'll be ready to bid the day we're approved. Our goal is to have it up and running 15 months after approval. So we're looking at actually January 25th, 2021. And it's a beautiful tower. It's 7 stories tall. We already have it designed. The terminal now is about, we're about to go into design for the terminal, airline terminal. We've spent $7 million over the last 4 years preparing the airport for air service. And so we're finally there. And this, I can't think of any time where I'm going to have $400,000 to market the airport in 1 year. So that's an incredible opportunity.
It changes the game for us.
It is.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you for all your
efforts. Any other questions?
Sure.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Appreciate it very, very much. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have a public hearing. Is this the one we're going to postpone to July the 16th, right?
Yes.
Okay. This is on Somersault, but since we're postponing it tonight when we were supposed to have the public hearing, I would like for anyone that would still like to speak on it and made their effort to be out tonight, you're welcome to come to the microphone and make any statement you wish. All right, then. Okay, moving back to ordinances, the first reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, the zoning ordinance, Somersault, final, that's postponed. Okay, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, now, as most of you know, as soon as we adjourn, we go to the committee of the whole. So, all in favor?
All right.
Okay, call the meeting of the committee of the whole for Tuesday, July 9th, 2019 to order. Call the roll, please, ma'am.
Councilmember Silvers is absent. Councilmember Johnson.
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell.
Here.
Councilmember Costa.
Here.
Councilmember Boyd.
Here.
Mayor Kennan.
Here. Consideration of previous minutes from Flood Damage Prevention Board, regular councilman committee of the whole, 6/18/19. Those will be moved forward for review. We'll give him a few minutes to get out. Joe, call us for anything we can do to help, okay?
I mean, thank you, Joe.
Guys, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, moving to new business. Under miscellaneous, discuss business license application, Lotus Orange Beach, sale of CBD oil. Chief, would you like to start this off? That's the right answer. Thank you, sir.
Chief Kimberling got commendations. I get CBD oil.
Yes, you do. Joe has been tasked with trying to do a little bit of research for us, guys, so we can sort of get an idea of what we're talking about. So.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll do my best this evening to kind of take you through a chronology as to how we've gotten to where we are. A lot of this has come through research of the statutes, Attorney General's opinion for the state of Alabama, and also conferring with the Attorney General's office, Baldwin County District Attorney, and that's pretty much a summation of that. First off, the current law that we have right now, and the concerns, I'll just say, for the police department are twofold here. Number one, the safety of the public. First of all, the business that we're talking about in this capacity or in this arena is not regulated. There's not a check. So what is in the product being sold is not going through an actual, it's going through a manufacturing process, but it's not going through the standard quality control that would be afforded, let's say, a drug. It is a supplement. The second part has to do with the police department, and that's what I'm going to get into now. There's a current statute on the books, 13A12-212, unlawful possession or receipt of controlled substances. This is what we have to do right now when we encounter a liquid and oil like this. We are limited to what's called a presumptive test on the side of the road. We can test for the presence of THC. And I'll butcher this, but I'm going to give it a shot every time I say it as to what THC is. And it is the actual term, what it means is that it is, and now I'm looking for where I actually printed it in here. Well, I guess that's not so important. I'll get to it in a minute. But it's a psychoactive drug. In other words, it produces a euphoric result, altered consciousness in some states, depending upon the concentration of it. So when we talk about the law and the presence of THC, the officer on the side of the road is limited to what they can do. We can test for the presence of it. We're going to get into industrial hemp and THC levels and how the laws have changed. However, with THC presence, we're limited to what we can do other than presence. Department of Forensic Sciences for the state of Alabama has to test the actual percentages. It's a Class C felony because it is considered a Schedule I substance under Alabama statute. This isn't about hemp. It's not about industrial hemp so much. We're talking about the level of THC more than anything. Anyhow, in 2014, to kind of take you back, There's something called Carley's Law that was passed by the state legislature. Short version, this is to treat what was a debilitating epileptic condition. And you had to possess a prescription authorized by the UAB Department of Neurology to get this. There's a sunset provision in this particular law, July 1st, 2019. It's expired. It provided also what's called an affirmative defense for the possession of CBD by a parent or caretaker of someone who satisfied the conditions I just gave you. Okay, the AG opinion in their December 2018 letter was Carley's Law did not legalize the possession or use of CBD. CBD, which is cannabidiol, is what I'm probably butchering the pronunciation, but that's it. So anyhow, when that sunset, prior to that in 2016, something called Lenny's Law was passed. This broadened things a little bit. For those with a chronic or debilitating disease, didn't limit it to epilepsy. It also specified the only FDA-approved prescription you could get, which is Epidiolex. The AG has opined this still did not legalize the use of CBD, but this derivative or this CBD-derived product could be purchased through prescription. This also provided an affirmative defense as well for whomever had this. Most recently, my opinion, what's created a lot of the confusion, October 28, 2018, less than a year ago, Alabama Department of Public Health adopted a rule allowing for the medical use of FDA-approved drugs, that's key, that contain CBD. This includes Epidiolex, which is now legal to be prescribed for the two forms of epilepsy with this 2018 ruling. Both Carley and Lenny's Law provided the affirmative defense, while the 2018 ruling actually regulated this drug. As any other drug, the AG, in his opinion, stated, and this is exactly what was, I'm taking this verbatim, selling, delivering, or distributing CBD, other than FDA-approved prescription drug Epidiolex, is illegal under Alabama law. Not my opinion. I'm just reading what the AG opinion stated. So you've got hemp and marijuana. They look alike. They're nothing alike. And there are some state and federal law changes here. Shortly after the 2018 ruling in October I talked about, Alabama Department of Agriculture implemented the industrial hemp law, which many people are familiar with. And you can see, shortly after that, U.S. Congress specifically excluded industrial hemp from the definition of marijuana. So once again, you can kind of see where some people, it's very easy to get confused as we go through this. THC, which I said is a psychoactive drug, the whole thing with industrial hemp, you had to have 0.3% of that and below, which is what a lot of people have heard, dry weight, and it's considered CBD. Anything above that is considered a marijuana-derived product because it could have that psychoactive effect. CBD is a non-psychoactive drug, if you want to call it that, under 0.3% dry weight, which is important to note. What all this means is hemp with 0.3% dry weight is excluded from the definition of marijuana. That was done by Congress and the state. And as I said, I believe this is where a lot of the confusion comes in. The state is still mandating that you have a prescription to possess this drug. Anything that is not Epidiolex is considered a supplement. And I'll get into that. So we talked about the THC content, where the police department and law enforcement in general, from me speaking to other law enforcement leaders and some of the people I mentioned earlier, we get confused, is tell us what's legal. Tell us what can be enforced. Tell us what can be let go. Where we're left right now is, for instance, if one of our officers makes a stop this evening, he finds this oil, he does a presumptive test, it pops positive for THC, an arrest will be made for a Class C felony. It'll be sent to the Department of Forensic Sciences, as we always do. Unfortunately, as you can imagine, with all the law enforcement agencies and all the confusion with this, they get many samples. It takes them months to go through it. They basically, everything's more or less, my words, been booted to them to determine what they will, once again, my words, they will testify to as to what contains a sufficient, I'll just say, THC level to be a controlled substance. And that is when we find that out. The officer at the side of the road in any municipality really is at a disadvantage. So how do we treat it? I don't have a very good answer for this. Some people do say that saying any CBD product under 0.3% dry weight is legal, but the AG hasn't said that. I mentioned the Department of Forensic Sciences. They're looking back to the Attorney General and the Department of Public Health to tell them what's controlled and what isn't. There's only one type of CBD that the state recognizes, and it's the Epidiolex. Okay? And under federal law, a new drug may not be placed into interstate commerce absent approval by the FDA. Drug is defined as something that is intended for the use in treatment of disease or is therapeutic. This is where you get into the supplement argument. These CBD products are basically being marketed as such, but labeled as supplements. The FDA has stated that dietary supplements are, and I quote, not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or alleviate the effects of diseases. I understand there's a lot of thoughts on this. I'm not a proponent. I'm not an opponent of this. I'm just trying to figure out, we want to keep the public safe, and we want to give the officers a clear path to what is enforceable and what needs to be enforced by law. CBD products that are being sold right now are not regulated like a drug. Nobody's testing them. Nobody's checking them, other than maybe some internal mechanisms, but there's no government oversight from the FDA necessarily. And there have also been some products sold elsewhere being advertised as 0% THC. Now, the Board of Pharmacy, in one of the conferences that myself and the assistant chief attended, said, we bought the products, 0% THC. We did get DFS to test them. They all had THC in them. He didn't comment on the level. He just said there was a THC presence. So I gave each of you the public health warning issued by the Department of Public Health. They put that out. But basically, the state of Alabama needs to make a determination as to what they want to do. And then we know what we have to do or not do. And until that happens, perhaps a little bit more time may be merited to take a closer look at it.
No. Thank you, Chief. Appreciate you doing the research.
I really do, sir.
Sir?
Brief as I can make it.
That was fine. Thank you very much.
Good.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions?
Questions?
Chief?
A lot. Yeah, so if I understand you correctly, if someone buys CBD oil at a store that exists now that sells it, and you pull one of your officers pulls them over, and they test it on site, and it shows any presence of THC, and they do not have a prescription for it, then they're arrested. And
yes.
That sample is taken
yes.
and sent to a forensic lab, and it takes months for that to come back, and then they have a court date, a court cost, and a trial with it.
Well, if it comes back, and the Department of Forensic Sciences says not a controlled substance, everything's dismissed.
Is there a level of THC that's acceptable? Like what I read or saw was, I want to say it was 0.0134.
0.3. It's 0.3 dry weight.
I think
not
it's
liquid, 0.0134
liquid and liquid
okay.
form, if I remember
I've
properly.
Not seen that number.
So here's the dilemma. They're selling it all over the state.
Yeah.
It's the momentum has already moved. We're fighting a snowball coming down the hill as one guy trying to hold it and going, do we either put something in place to say, here's how we're going to handle it as Orange Beach and fight this snowball? Do we accept it to come in and go, or do we revoke one of the business licenses that are already existing? And as we're pushing this one, do we accept them both in and say, here, we're going to find the greatest technology on the market and provide it to our police department to give you a tool to work with to try to prevent some of this? It puts us in a dilemma where we sit, but I think we need to just logically take a deep breath, step back and go, what's best for the city of Orange Beach? I don't really care what everybody else is doing. I know where the momentum is right now. It's here. The whole state of Alabama, it's here. And, I mean, I stop at
top stores
outside of here, and they're on the counter. Mm-hmm. So it's coming. I think the question is how do we approach it and how do we handle it? I think it's dangerous for us to say we're not going to allow it in a state where everywhere else it's already coming. I think we look at what some of the other cities are doing, and I think we probably need to take a week or two to go, let's breathe on this and see where we want to go as a city with it.
As I said, for us, safety of the public, number one. Number two, how the officers deal with this, how we deal with it as a police department. I want to be careful here not to draw unmerited or parallels. Everybody remembers Spice. It was outlawed. It was legal at one point. Bath salts were as well. I don't know if anybody remembers Spice, totally unregulated. We've had people that we deal with. There's one in particular I can think of. I don't know if Steve knows who I'm talking about, who smokes so much of this and still does that has altered his mental status. He does live here. He is occasionally, I'll just say, an issue for him. We work with his father on it. Some of this, as I said, these are not regulated products. I'm going to be honest, though. I've heard no horror stories, but it's not a regulated product, and it's not recognized, according to the AG opinion, as legal in the state.
Well, having been in that industry in the past of supplements, you know, there's the dilemma of there are no supplements that are FDA regulated. You don't know what a lab is putting out. You don't know the quality. But there's a big difference between a supplement with guarana in it, that's caffeine, and a psychoactive drug. So we're talking about something, according to this here, that can create a side effect in someone much more than just being a little bit hyper and can't go to sleep. I think that's the reason for the issue here, because as far as, I mean, everybody should be responsible. They're responsible for what they put in their mouth and doing the research. But, I mean, this is just a little bit different. I don't know how to handle it either. I do think the moratorium is a great idea at this time to research it further. I personally like not necessarily from a health perspective, but just from our mantra of air prosperity and family value,
yes,
kid friendly. I don't like CBD oil stores all over the place. I don't even like vape shops all over the place. I don't think it represents who we are. But I don't know how to deal with that. I mean, I think that's something we need to talk about. I just assume there'll never be another CBD oil store in town. But that's my opinion.
I just think the clarity of the issue is not clear. I mean, we do not have clarity. So I think we need time. I think we need time to be able to look at it and research it more and see if anybody knows how the trend's going to go. But it's unregulated. But I think it's just too early in the game. But anyway, I would support a moratorium on it until we had time to look at all these different sides and see if we can bring clarity to what we would approve or what we would not approve.
And I do believe that if it was, again, like all of the supplements, that's one thing. But because our police are having to deal with,
yes,
a positive test, that is, I don't know, something doesn't make sense to me. Well, I'd like to research it more, but... And you guys got any idea?
We're going to, yeah. Yes,
just please hang on, okay? I'll let you tell you. Y'all got any other questions or thoughts for Chief?
I really don't. I think it's clear as mud. And I really don't care
disagree.
What other towns are doing.
I said I don't disagree.
I just want us to make the right decisions, and I think we need to take that deep breath and just give it a little bit of time.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. I'm going to open it up to the public.
Thank you.
All righty.
Thank
yes,
you,
sir.
Chief.
I'm the owner of Lotus. Can I speak?
You can. Please tell us the name and address and
sure.
Go from there.
My name is Chase Smith. I'm actually an owner of the CBD store in Foley. My name, it's called Lotus. I think the sheriff was kind of correct in some of the stuff he was telling you. However, I have some documents here, if I can give them out to you, that kind of clears up what the legality of CBD is in the state.
Well, you can give it to them, we'll review it. Give it to us before we leave, but we'll review it another time. So.
All right, so what I have here is actually a press release from the state AG, the Secretary of Alabama Law Enforcement, the Executive Director of the Office of Prosecution Services, and the Director of the Alabama Department of Forensic Science. They all signed off on this. I'll read from it. It says, as a result of the congressional action, CBD derived from industrial hemp with a THC concentration of no more than 0.3% on a dry weight basis can be legally produced, sold, and possessed in the state of Alabama. There's no ambiguity there. It's legal. Anything less than 0.3% is legal in the state of Alabama per all four of those departments that have issued this press release. This was noticed December 12th. It goes further on to speak about the Carley's Law and Lenny's Law. The updated notice also states that if anything that you sell is less than 0.3%, stop there. End of sentence. Do not go any further into the document. The following only applies to CBD-derived marijuana or CBD-derived from hemp greater than 0.3%. Nothing I sell in my store or anything that anyone's going to sell in their store is going to be less or more than 0.3%.
How do you know that?
All of our tests, all of the substances that we get in the store, all of the oils, every gummy, every anything, comes with a certificate of analysis that is done by a third-party lab.
Hired by the lab.
A third-party lab, so not even the company themselves, but they hire an outside lab to run the test and to show all the cannabinoids that are in it, test for metals, test for pesticides, herbicides, all kinds of GMOs, all other things. Also along with this, I'd like to show you guys is that the Alabama Department of Agriculture has actually clarified this as well in a press release. It says that they are actually changing the definition of hemp in all parts that less than 0.3% THC, including derivatives, extracts, and cannabinoids. Hemp is now deemed an agricultural commodity and is no longer classified as a controlled substance. It's not a controlled substance anymore. Anything less than 0.3% is not a controlled substance. It's not illegal. If you join those two together, you also look at, I have an example of a processors and handling agreement that was issued in April for Christian Butts of Seedless Green in Alberta. They are a processor of CBD and hemp-derived products. I doubt that the state would be issuing licenses for something illegal. This actually gives him the right to process, handle, and to sell hemp-derived products and hemp itself. I think it's pretty clear-cut that the state has already gone in the direction it's going in. It's stated pretty clearly that it's legal to possess, sell, distribute, and consume less than 0.3% of dry weight. This also states in here at the very last page, last paragraph, as a law enforcement agencies of the state of Alabama and its subdivisions, it is our responsibility to interpret and enforce the law as written by the Alabama legislature. This public notice does not address federal law pertaining to CBD, which should be enforced by federal law enforcement agencies. If you have any questions, please contact, and they give some information. Epidolex is actually one of those CBD derivatives that actually will be more than 0.3%. That's why it would be considered under Carley's Law and Lenny's Law. But nothing that will be sold at any of my stores or anybody else around here, hopefully, would be more than 0.3%. We can provide certificates of analysis for every product that we sell for you guys so that you will feel a little bit more comfortable with what the products we have. All of the stuff that we actually use on ourselves, you talk about family friendly and being a family environment. I have an example here of Elise Pugh. Her son has pandas. He's 8 years old. He has a swelling of the basal ganglia due to a staph infection. She's tried every doctor's medication she could find. Every doctor kept telling her to use different products, to use different this, that, and the other thing. The CBD oil she bought at my store is the only thing that's got them back to a regular life. He's speaking again. He's talking again. He's sleeping in his bed again. He's able to do activities he's never been able to do for the last 3 years. We have no intention of harming the community. We actually like to give back. We would actually love to be involved, help you guys the best we can. Hopefully this clears up any ambiguity on the law. It states clearly, CBD with less than 0.3% THC is acceptable to sell, possess, distribute in the state of Alabama. That was the Attorney General. That was the Secretary of Alabama Law Enforcement, the Executive Director of Prosecution Services, and the Department of Forensic Science. They all signed on to this. hopefully they've already done their research and they've done, you know, before they release this press release.
So everything that you buy.
Yes, ma'am.
How do we know that everything that you buy in your store is under that 0.3%?
Everyone that's currently in the CBD industry tries to, if not does, abide by the 0.3%. I mean, that's the only reason that we're in the industry is because it's legal now because of that. All of our products, before we bring them into the store, do have what's called COAs, or Certificates of Analysis. Those certificates are actually done, like I was telling you, by a third-party lab, not done by the person that's actually producing it, but another lab to test the quality, the strength, the purity, and all of the other stuff in it.
And there is documentation that someone could look at in your...
Yes, ma'am. Okay. We have it readily available in the store. You could always pull it up. Most of the products now actually get tested 3 to 4 months at a time. So in January, they'll test it. In March, they'll test it. In June, they'll test it. And they have QR codes on the products. So you could actually pull them up on your phone while you're in my store and look at the certificate of analysis.
Question. Do you know of any city, I don't know much about all this, but just in my mind, are there any cities that have required stores to have additional testing? Like
no, ma'am.
On a quarterly basis?
No, ma'am.
Something like that. You haven't heard of anything?
I've not heard of anything. I've been in this industry for almost 3 years now. I'm from Atlanta, where this is readily available.
Right.
It's, you know, everything's fine. I came down here. I opened my store in January in Foley. Since then, I've met some wonderful people, been able to help them with so much get off of opioids. I've helped people sleep for the first time in months that haven't slept. You know, they come in, they tell me they can't sleep, their pains in their ankles, their legs, their this, that, and the other. The doctor told me to come to you and try CBD. That's why I'm there.
And I think what you've done is make my argument for me, because I have been in the supplement industry. And I know for a fact that the minute a supplement becomes a fad, mm-hmm. and there's money to be made, then the fakes, the frauds, will join in with the CBD oil companies.
Yes, sir.
And they will be marketing CBD oil that is not lab tested.
Yes, sir.
And it's not regulated. My concern is exactly what you've just said. If we create do we create an ordinance where you have to keep on file the lab test, the verification that everything you have, mm-hmm. and you may already do that. But the next guy, Tom Thumb, may not.
Right.
Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt there will be products on the market mm-hmm. under CBD oil. There will be no more CBD oil right. than some protein powders or protein powders.
Yes, sir.
That's what's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
The other thing is our police department has to deal with the fact that if it tests, even if it's 0.1,
yes, sir.
It's still an illegal situation for them because they don't know whether it's 0.1 or 0.21.
I understand.
Or 31.
I understand. And recently in Somerville, I believe this was addressed on the news where they had the CBD water and they decided not to use the roadside test on anything that lists it being CBD because they were getting false positives. I understand that it makes his job a little bit more difficult and I can appreciate that. I really can. However, the law says it's legal to possess, sell, distribute.
Understand, and that's why we think we need a breather
right.
to figure all this out.
Yeah,
there's no doubt mine. Municipal medical marijuana works.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know it works. And,
yes, sir.
But the trouble is, you see what happens with medical marijuana. It is abused, and it becomes recreational marijuana
right.
through the distributors of medical marijuana. And all we're doing is saying, let's take the time mm-hmm. to create an ordinance that will prevent what we know is going to happen come with the frauds and the fakes.
Yes, sir.
Do we require on-site record keeping so that we know that when we walk in and look at your product, you've got the lab test right there for us?
Yes, sir.
And then what do we do in our police department? And they do a little bit more research. It may be just what you said. It may be there is no testing of X, Y, and Z
right.
oil. I don't know.
Right.
But tonight is the night that we decide that we need to figure out all of that before
right.
we start granting more business licenses and letting more folks in.
I believe Mr. Boyd was right on with what he was saying, was if you allow a legal business to open in your city, you're not only generating revenue for your city, but you're also, you know, helping the people in your city. Not only that, you could also give more
money.
I didn't
say that, by the way.
No, I'm sorry. You were saying basically that the city invests in the cops and better, you know, screening of the materials and stuff like that. I agree with that. Absolutely. If their job's a little tougher, I understand that. If you want me to have COAs on record, I already do that. That doesn't seem like an unreasonable request.
We have to have a way that if we grant you a license no different than we grant a cab or an Uber or taxi.
Yes, sir.
If they don't have insurance or they aren't meeting their standards, we pull their license.
Yes, sir.
Tow trucks, overcharging, we pull their license. And if we walk into your CBD store and you've got stuff in there that's over 0.3%,
yeah,
then we pull your license.
I would be fine
and
with
we
that.
We have to have a way. If you're selling it in Foley, it's already come in Orange Beach.
Right.
So we have to have a way to deal with it. I think what we need to do is take that breath and go, what's our best method?
Okay. Well, I you were asking about the clarity of the legality of CBD in the state of Alabama. I believe this public
the clarity, the problem I have is I have a press release that just came from health officer, state health officer, Dr. Scott Harris, who says for the public to avoid any potentially dangerous products that are unregulated, and CBD falls in that category.
I understand that's an opinion.
He is recommending the public not to use CBD.
I understand that's an opinion, but the legality of it.
But see where the clarity is?
Well, I understand the opinion of the gentleman, and I can respect that opinion. But the public notice of the department that the AG says that it's legal.
No one's arguing that it's legal 0.3% or less. That was you're confused now. Okay. That was never the argument. The argument is how do we know it's 0.3% or less or more? How do we test for it, and how do we deal with the court cases and the situations they're in, and how do we assure that any store that sells it in Orange Beach? And again, just because it's legal, tattoos are legal, but we don't have any more tattoo parlors in Orange Beach. Pawn shops are legal, but we don't have any more pawn shops.
I understand.
So
I understand that my license was being denied because of the legality of CBD. Is that incorrect?
There is an administrative process so that when you filed your application,
yes, ma'am,
it was routed to several city departments. That happens with every business license.
And they all agreed upon that it was okay.
If I might.
Does it work for us?
I don't know.
How do you know our process better than we do? Let her finish telling you what happened, okay?
Absolutely.
I can tell you what the process is.
Yes, ma'am.
So you get zoning clearances, the police department comments. Under the city code, the revenue department has the right to refer any business license to the city council for decision.
Yes,
you don't have an automatic right to a business license.
Understand.
They have made that referral. You have not been denied. This council will make that decision.
Okay.
No individual in the city does that.
Okay.
So while you're here, I had a couple of questions.
Sure, absolutely.
If you don't mind.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
The applicant's name is Lotus Orange Beach, LLC.
Yes, ma'am.
And as best I can tell, Lotus Orange Beach LLC, 10% of that company is owned by Deanne Rome.
Correct.
45% is owned by another LLC called CHJM LLC. And as best I can tell, that company is owned by Chad and Heather Kirkland.
Correct.
And then another 45% is owned by Lotus LLC. Who is Lotus LLC? Is that
Lotus
you?
Lotus LLC is myself and my wife, Courtney.
Okay, so and you're Chase Smith?
Yes, ma'am.
And what's your wife's name?
Courtney Smith, Courtney.
Okay.
So do you have any interest in the store that's already in Orange Beach?
No, sir.
Is Chad Kirkland?
No, sir. We had tried to lease that space out, and we're denied and told by the building owner that he wanted a more upscale clientele. And then a week later, a CBD store pops up. That's the only interaction I have with the location.
Mm-hmm. Where's the one that exists?
The Canal Road, right next to Big Fish.
Big Fish.
I know where it is. Okay.
Yep. And this is proposing your routes.
Yeah, I know where
it is. Okay. So it's a dilemma for me because I know that supplementation outside FDA-approved medications make a difference in people's lives.
Yes, sir.
But I also, again, have firsthand knowledge of how fraudulent that industry can be.
Right.
And with a psychoactive drug, that's different than just having too much caffeine or not having protein in the protein powder.
Do you know of any city that has an ordinance which you think does a really good job in this area?
I believe it falls under Dillon's rule that if the state has not specifically given the county the ability to make that law, then it falls back on the state.
Yeah, again, we're not talking about banning CBD oil.
Right.
We're talking about reasonable
restrictions, time, place, and manner.
Yes, ma'am.
We're talking about zoning.
Yes, ma'am.
New York City, for example, just prohibited the sale of CBD products in bars and restaurants. Delray Beach, Florida, has a moratorium. So does Alabaster, Alabama.
Right.
There isn't a large body of evidence that I have been able to find now about what secondary effects may occur to a community by the location of a CBD oil. So again, we're not talking about banning the substance.
Right.
We're talking about what is a reasonable regulatory response to this new product. And since you've been in the business,
I think honestly, just having certificates of analysis on hand every time you guys walk in would be enough for you to know that what I sell on my shelves is pure, it's legal within the legal limits, that what I'm selling is high quality, it's not going to hurt anybody. I think it's also, you know, if we could get with the police department, and if the product comes from my store, maybe it has a receipt that I can attach to it, something that says that this was bought from a legitimate CBD store.
So do you buy from one person?
Let me give you a different perspective.
Yes, sir.
I'm on spring break, and I'm coming here from Louisiana.
Yes, sir.
And I have CBD oil labeled in a vial that's going to go on my pen that I'm going to, my vape.
Yes, sir.
And it's pure THC.
Yes,
I'll put a label on it, CBD oil, because that's what I would do if I was a teenager.
Yes, sir.
And I would drive over here. And now our police department pulls them over.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to deal with that. That's our dilemma, is the safety of our 3.5 million tourists a year.
Right.
I
feel that.
Nothing
that,
else.
Would that not be illegal anyways if they brought it from the other state?
But how, would,
how,
do
we
how know? Would they
know? We don't. That's where our dilemma lies. We don't know if it came from your store, if somebody created this and put it for their vape pen and they brought it over.
Yeah.
And that's where our dilemma lies. Nowhere else, really. That's
right.
The safety of our people. So we have to figure out a way we're going to handle
right.
that issue.
There are better tests that I know that are out there that can test for the levels of THC in products. So if maybe an investment into that would be helpful as well.
Are you offering to pay?
No. I'm sure that we can figure something out.
I'm sure we could. Chief, I'm sorry. But, again, it goes back to spice was fine.
Right.
And then it wasn't.
Right.
And, again, this. I don't want to overreact.
Right.
I don't want to be too draconian.
Right.
But I do think, like I said a dozen times, it has a psychoactive drug in it. And that is something that we have to be. And you made that was a great analogy or a great scenario.
Right.
Of we would not know what it was or what we're dealing with. So anyway, I still think a moratorium makes perfect sense until we know how to regulate it, how to throw up the ordinance,
yes.
and do more research on it.
I agree, and I thank you for your information because I think it will be very valuable to us.
Sure, absolutely. In the meantime, is the other locations going to be allowed to keep open, the other CBD store you currently have?
That's to be determined. We'll have to figure out what we're going to do with it.
Okay.
But I would suggest or ask that anything you give us to help us through the process, we welcome.
Absolutely. I've got pamphlets here.
Yes,
that,
I would like that information.
Yeah.
All this information.
We'll take all we can get to be educated on.
And again, like Matt, y'all's case, I don't question the effects. I've read up on it. I've heard story after story of where it helps people.
Awesome.
I know it's changed y'all's life tremendously, and I'm grateful that you found something to help.
Yes.
We're not trying to stop that. I think you hear our complaint, not our complaint, but our concern of what we have to do when it's not your house, but it's a party house at the beach and we have the same issue. And we just have to look at the bigger picture and go, how's the best way for us to move forward?
I understand both sides. I truly do. And I understand the dilemma of Chief and everybody. I can speak for Chase just as a business owner from the moment Maddox was in the store. That night, he was texting Elise, not emailing, he was texting, checking on him, seeing how Maddox has reacted to certain things. This was months and months ago, and he still checks on him all the time. So he's not a, I don't know a lot about CBD. I'm as confused as you guys. My wife's a smart one. She knows all about that stuff.
For sure.
But I do have only one comment. The people coming from Louisiana, They're going to be coming from Louisiana, whether it's sold here or not.
Right.
But as far as him, as a business owner, I can't speak more highly of how they treat their
Matt, here's the other side of that. They're coming from Louisiana. We're probably arrested them immediately. I mean, whether it's Texas or wherever, if they're found with it, the tolerance level is probably at 0,
yeah.
0.1 instead of 0.3. And I guess what we need to do is just, if we're going to deal with, we know we're going to deal with it locally, let's just figure out how to deal with it globally as well at the same time. Because if we're gonna say we're giving you permission here, then we really need to know what our standard is here. And we don't need to have a zero tolerance with our own residents that we say, hey, it's open, we're legal, and now we're going to arrest you as soon as you hit the street. So we've got to be really careful how we do this.
I understand. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes, but I can only speak for our situation and him and how he's handled it with us. And I have nothing but great things to say. Not good.
Well, thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. Please come.
That means a lot, yes.
It does.
PNS, which is pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorder associated with streptococcal infection. It's a huge mouthful.
I moved the mic over, so everybody
here. We have been dealing with this nightmare for 4 years. Massive grand mal seizures, tics, debilitating motor skill deficits. He was held back in first grade. Behavioral nightmares, severe anxiety. Would not leave our house, afraid of the water that we live on. We were living an absolute nightmare. He is a beautiful child who we lost overnight. We have gone to 3 different neurologists. We have been to specialists. We see specialists, pediatric specialists. We have spent lengthy time in the hospital. We have dealt with infectious disease. We landed on a neurologist who is world-renowned. His name is Dr. Martens. He's at USA Medical. He is the one that told us to seek out CBD. He said it is an anti-inflammatory for his brain. You're going to give it to him. You're going to see results immediately. Chase opened in Foley. Literally within a week of him opening his store, I went in there to find out because I was not knowledgeable enough to order online. I had no idea what I was doing. And I went in there, and that man spent hours on the computer that night researching pandas. He reached out to other people to find more information for us. He gave me samples to figure out what we needed. He worked with us tirelessly for week after week after week to get Maddox where he needs to be. My son ended this school year as a straight-A honor roll student, top AR reader in his classroom, and 100% a terrific kid. Yes. And we couldn't have said that a year ago. He's a different child. I have him back. He has not had a seizure since. He has no more tics. He has no motor skill deficits. He's out there surfing with Tambo every day. He is a different child because of this. And it's not just us. It's not just us. We have referred family after family after family of kids in Baldwin County that have pandas to Chase. He has helped send it to people that are out of Baldwin County and help them. We have countless children that are benefiting from this. So when I hear, Mr. Mann, I respect everything you say, but if I hear you say, we don't want CBD here because it's not a family-friendly business, it's changed our family and all these families around us. And it's not just pandas. It's autism. It's so many things that these children are going through that he is so beneficial in helping us. And I always have documentation of what I buy. It's labeled and sealed. So I recommend to y'all that if this is something that you're going to put on how you're going to handle this, is to maybe require CBD in Orange Beach to be sealed. Let them buy a product that has a label on it and is sealed, because everything that I buy from Chase is sealed, and I have a receipt with it, and I travel home, and I carry it with me in case I were pulled over, because who knows what people are going to think. But I will not stop, even if it's illegal, and I'll give you my address, and you can come arrest me, because my child is a different child.
Yes.
So I just want you all to see this is a family telling you this. And this family, my husband is 100% right. Chase has done more for our family than any doctor besides his neurologist. And his pediatrician knows he takes it. The school knows he takes it. His IEP program knows he takes it. And they cannot speak highly enough about the changes in my child. This is not a hallucinogenic. This is an anti-inflammatory for him. This is people that have had back surgery after back surgery after back surgery and are addicted to pain medication. They get off of it because they use CBD. This is people that have debilitating macular degeneration that get their eyesight back. Y'all have to understand there's so much medical evidence behind how good this product is and the benefits it has for community. And I'm sorry, but every person driving down 59 who can see 15 stores that sell CBD are going to put it in their car and drive right here as they go to the beach. They're going to get it anyways. And I promise you, if you pop in any of these gas stations in Orange Beach, you'll find some on their counters. They just haven't come and asked permission first like Chase has. And that's what you have to worry about.
Yeah.
And yeah. I agree, but please don't. I'm glad you're there, and I would never quit if it's my child either. where no matter where I had to go get it, I would go get it. I don't think I said it's not family friendly. I think what I said was I don't know that it's family friendly. We don't know enough about it because it has THC. That was our question. And does it fit what we're trying to do? I'm in healthcare. I promise you, I know. My motto is if cow manure make it feel better, give me a truckload. I get your grief. We just wanted to make sure we proceeded in a very judicious fashion and did the right thing. Because in some circles, you've got good information, it sounds like, and great results. But CBD oil to others sounds like snake oil, just like all the other types of oils and non-prescription supplements. And the whole supplement industry has ruined it because they make all these claims. So please, that's what I meant by that. I just want to make sure we do the right thing when we say, okay, come get it. So
I absolutely appreciate
but
that.
But we thank you for your story because
yes,
it does
that makes
add
a
some,
difference.
It adds credibility, it adds some validity to it. And thank you for the doctor that you finally found at USA that led you down that pathway.
100%.
And because I know the results are significant for you and Matt and for your child. I mean, so you add value. You added value with your story. So, but I think we've just got to figure out what the process needs to be. And you may be right. It just may need to be sealed. And when you buy it, it is sealed. And
if provide a receipt and certificate of analysis, that seems like a lot of work to go through to have something fake, doesn't it?
But it's you know, the good people like you are doing the good things. But there's, you know, like we said before.
Well, the problem's going to be is there's going to come a time. She's got the story, she's got the real stuff, and she's got a vendor that she trusts. But when the fraud stuff's on the market, and that next person's not getting the results that y'all got, they're going to wonder why.
Right.
And it's going to because exactly what's going to happen, the same thing's happened in every supplement product. There's going to be fakes and frauds, and it's going to be labeled CBD oil, and they're going to be ripping off the labels. The exact, who knows, probably coming from China.
Yes, sir.
I would love to set something up to where when we have an ordinance in place that you know that we're watching and that you're selling the right stuff is
absolutely
real, and that when one of our folks go in there, it's real, and it's not some off-the-wall Chinese stuff that Tom Thumb or somebody else may sell.
I think that's a reasonable request, absolutely.
That's where I think
we're
coming
from. It would only help
from.
You in the long run.
I think that's perfectly
where
fine.
Where we're headed would only help the guys that are legit in
yes,
the long
yes.
run.
I think that would be
absolutely.
Perfectly fine.
Okay. That's where we're going.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Thank
anything
you.
Else they'd like to say? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Helen Clark, 28706 Sampson in Orange Beach. I think if you go into any of the CBD stores anywhere, you're not going to see young people in there looking for something to get high. You're going to see people like me, people like my friends that are getting older, that have arthritis, that have problems, that are looking for some way to get rid of the pain without taking prescription painkillers or Aleve or ibuprofen or some of these real strong NSAIDs that if you look at the list of bad effects, you know, they can hurt your liver, your stomach, your kidneys, all that. And the dangers of those sort of things or opioids, which, you know, are easy to come by.
Yes.
And if you could find something like CBD oil that it you don't get high, there's, you know, and I've bought it and used it, and it works. I have a number of friends, a lot of friends, that have been using it for a couple of years, and until they opened the stores in Gulf Shores and Foley, they've been having to get it online or go to other states to get it. And they're happy to have the stores in Foley. It's good stuff. I have friends that have had cancer twice, and they said they've gotten off of all their other medications. They're taking CBD, and they've been doing great for a year. I have a friend in North Carolina who was supposed to have been dead a year ago from prostate cancer. I talked to him this afternoon. He said he takes CBD oil, practically nothing else, and he's doing great. And so it's not a non-family-friendly thing. It's not like people are going to come here and go find CBD oil to get high. If they want to get high, they're going to buy pot off the streets. That's what everybody does. Or they're going to go get alcohol. I mean, you never question giving licenses for selling alcohol, which has terrible effects on even the people that aren't drinking. Texting while driving, do we stop that? No. Think of the number of people that kills or hurts. Cigarettes are sold everywhere and terribly dangerous. CBD oil is great stuff. Mostly it's going to be older people. People don't use it to get high. And, you know, it's everywhere in the country, and I don't know, I'm 68, and I've been doing really well. When I get some problems, I get a cream. I had a problem with my hands with tendonitis, and I tried a lot of things and pills that didn't help. I got a CBD oil spray, sprayed it on there, and my finger would straighten out right away within 5 minutes. And it works. It really works. It's not dangerous. People aren't looking at it to get high. That's not... So, you know, if you think that that's the problem with it, you're looking in the wrong place. It's not...
And that's what we're looking for, Ms. Heller. That's what we're looking for. That's why we're doing this.
And I agree with you, Ms. Helen. I mean, that segment that you just described, it is very beneficial. We've got to figure out a way that we can know what the good is and keep the bad out, because it's going to be. It's going to, you know, there's bad alcohol.
Please don't twist my words like that, okay? That's not in any way what I meant by that. I'll give you examples of exactly how we think things through before we do something. So I just don't want people walking out of here. The mayor said, well, CBD oil is like tattoo parlors. No, that's not what I'm saying. We have a process that we go through to protect the integrity, the health, the prosperity, the air, everything about our city. It's our responsibility to evaluate. This is what we got here. And this news release says it's dangerous to be careful. So that's, I think, all we're doing is trying our best to be careful. Misconstrue the content or context of what I was trying to say. I would appreciate that. That bothers me a little bit.
Well, so I'm sorry side. If that bothered.
I've had 13 surgeries, ma'am. I'm on your side.
So,
I promise
you, know,
you. I won't.
Right.
Okay.
But you know, I don't want to have to get it through mail order. And you don't, you know, there's no tax paid and so forth. So don't be like some of these other really tight communities that think you're doing your people a good job, because there's a lot more people in this room probably using CBD oil than you might think.
Thank you.
And we're getting it
yes.
from out of town.
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, please come on.
Good evening. My name is Mark Topeka. I know several of you, maybe most of you, and I'm a solo law practitioner here in Orange Beach.
That's the name
of these people. Mr. Topeka, Mark Topeka. He's an attorney. Okay.
Yeah, lift up
Mark. I know you're not used to speaking to public.
Yeah, I'm not used to. That's right. I've never spoken to the microphone before. So my office is on Canal Road over there, and I have a title company. And so principally, I'm a closing attorney, and every now and then I form LLCs, and I formed this particular Lotus of Orange Beach LLC. And then little did I know that today I'd be rushing to try to become an expert in CBD oil. And I can tell you that I am not. And everyone is here getting an education, but the most educated person in CBD oil, from what I can tell in this gathering, is Chase Smith back here. And I appreciate all y'all's time and your consideration, and I understand the role that you have and all that kind of stuff. And I will say that I did a little investigating, and I talked to Jay Ross, who's the city attorney at Daphne, and Daphne has been given these business licenses without any question. Fairhope has not addressed it. Spanish Fort has not addressed it. But those guys that I talked to there, I said, believe you me, you will be addressing it. You know, just like you guys are addressing it. So that just kind of gives you an idea of we're just kind of on the front part of this wave, and you guys are getting hit now. Obviously, since Chase has a business in Foley has addressed it, and they've embraced it. I mean, there are ills with everything, but it just sounds to me that the benefits of these products could far and outweigh some of the negative effects and the risks that may, you know, come with it. Now, I would say that if Chase's business license is denied, and I don't know how long this process is going to take, and you guys take your time, you do what you have to do, I understand that, but it would seem unfair if someone else in the city of Orange Beach is able to sell CBD products and Chase is not. So if you take this under consideration, into advisement, and you do your research and you do your study and you do all this kind of stuff, and I've sent some stuff to Wanda over there, and then when you come up with that process, whatever that is, it seems like it should be equally applied to everybody. You know, that is, those people that are currently have a business license and are selling CBD products, and guys like Chase who have come up here and applied to have a business license to have a store to do so. So, and the only thing I was thinking of in terms of, the police officers, and I get that too, is seems like maybe there's a test that you can do a quick test on whether it's less than 0.3%. I mean, that's the standard. That's the standard that the Agricultural Department of the U.S. Congress decided. That's the standard that the state of Alabama Attorney General, that's what they decided. And basically what they said is if it's less than 0.3%, then it's not a controlled substance. It's not something you can get high off of. You might be able to down like bottles of CBD oil and you might have a stomach ache, but you're probably not going to be high. I mean, that's kind of the science behind it. So, you know, I'll just ask y'all to take that into consideration, and I appreciate you listening to me for a few minutes. No, and
thank you.
No one likes an attorney to grandstand for too long, so I'm gone.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
But there is no test to decide if it's 0.3 or not. That is how this all came about, is for our police department's concerned about how do they deal with it. That's what started the whole process, is how do we deal with the ones who are pulled over, because there's no test to determine the amount of it. And then when you get this, and there are side effects, according to this office here, that makes you think again, what do we look at and how far do we take this? But I do think everything we do, we try to fairly address across the board. No one gets favored treatment in any way, form, or fashion. I think if we deem this a health hazard or a problem for us, it would apply across the board. I don't know that that's the case. I mean, you know, I remember rubbing DMSO on all my joints back before everybody knew it caused cancer, but it worked. So I think we would just like to take a few weeks to figure this out and make sure we're okay with our ordinance. That's all we're trying to do. That's all we're trying to do.
Chase, where is your location in Foley?
3872 South McKenzie Street.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Anybody else? Randy?
I just have a question.
Need your name.
Randy Boggs, Real Surprise Charters. And you know what I did before I started my business. I'm also a registered attorney. And I hear a lot of people being referred to these locations to do this. And for a supplemental claim, to me, I can't, as a registered nurse, I can't tell you to take Dramamine before you get on my boat. I can't tell you to take Vonin. Because if I do, I'm practicing medicine without a lot. A physician has prescribed drugs available to him. It's monitored, it's controlled, and you know the quality of what it's doing. If you first go back to a supplemental place, it seems to me that if it works this well, that the prescribed guessing and hoping that it helps it, but definitely it just seemed like a prescription.
Well, along those lines, and I may be repeating myself, but I go back to two points. It has nothing to do with the validity. All this is anecdotal evidence. I don't know how much has actually been double-blind studied where we can see it. Very little, I would imagine. The point being is the police, how do they deal with it, trying to figure that out. And then secondly, most business licenses that we give out, if not all, is the business license and the verification process to make sure they're doing exactly what they say they are doing. And if you're saying you're selling CBD oil that is of certain X quality, our goal is to make sure when our folks walk in that store, you have a business license, you're doing that. And that's all I think those two points are the most concerning to me. Getting this cleared up with the police department and our verification process that we all talked about goes a long ways that I can now say, hey, he's selling what he said he's selling, and it's not fake. It's not from China. It's not some kind of nonsense. So
I think that's it.
I think that's in a nutshell, those two things.
Yeah, and we do not offer medical advice on any, and even the bottles say that it's not regulated right. by the FDA. This is not intended to treat anything. When people walk in, they tell us what's wrong with them. And anecdotally, I have had people come in with the same problems we had. I explained to them what the other person has told them.
Sorry, I don't offer any medical advice whatsoever. No, so, I mean, and the gentleman over here that was stating that the best way to go would be to get a prescription. The only legal CBD product right now is Epidiolex, which is what the chief was talking about. That has to refer to children with seizures. There's no other application for it legally. So, you know, like the lady up front who has aches and arthritis and stuff, that would help her.
Yeah, I understand.
Chase, did you bring that information for us?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, can we have those?
Sure.
If it's one copy, is it one copy?
Is it one?
Six,
okay,
copies.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, let's leave one for Mr. Silvers. Perfect.
If you got a case of it, I'll try it just to check it out. So we'll see what we think about it.
Thank you, Chase.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You want to go with it?
Well, I can't tomorrow.
I hate it when I miss it.
At least we say the best.
Mayor, this is off the subject for me, but... did you guys approve my project? I know you approved
the
parking
lot.
I'm sorry.
The parking lot.
Yeah, but how about the project?
It was part of it.
It was part of it?
No, there was only the parking on the agenda.
No, it was the second reading.
Yeah. We approved the second reading.
You approved my project?
Yes, we approved your project.
Thank you all very much. I really appreciate it. Thank
Larry,
you.
I was wondering why you were hanging around as long as you did.
That's not what's on the agenda. It's not what's
Thank
on the
Well,
Thank
it
you.
Is under ordinances.
Yeah.
Look, but
it was
I know,
a second
but look
reading.
What's on our...
Well, I'm looking at the paper copy.
Carib East Temporary Parking Area.
No, second reading.
Carib East and West.
At.
Yeah.
Right. This is the second reading of what you all heard 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's Carib East. You approved east and west.
The only question to it was the parking lot, because he asked for it afterwards.
We started a little bit before things started getting a little loud, and I wasn't able to get up here real quick.
Sorry, let's get everybody get out the door that's going to leave, and then hang on just a second. I have no idea.
If we're going to do it, we need to address whether or not we're going to do a moratorium and what the length.
Yeah, we haven't voted. Yeah, we haven't really stopped.
This is
closed. I didn't say it's a public hearing, but we haven't.
So my name is Christian Butts. I'm the owner of CBD.
Is this about CBD oil?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. It is. That's, and I wanted to first ask, I wanted to ask the police chief, do we know if there is a machine that can measure the level of THC, and how much does it cost?
I've been researching it while we're sitting here. there are some machines that are lab-type machines, but there aren't any that would go like you blow in a car to show if you have alcohol or not, except that does it show the presence or not the presence?
It won't show the amount.
That's correct.
Which is the issue.
Which is the issue.
Would you give us your name again, please?
It's Christian Butts.
Okay.
PBT, portable breath test, it's not recognized by the court. We document it, but when the individual's booked in, if they're found to have been driving under the influence, there's something called a Draeger test. Officers have to recertify on it annually. It is something that is recognized by the court and is a calibrated piece of equipment. So I'm hesitant to say that anything we find online, although, Mr. Boyden, sir, I do appreciate it. I really do. I'm serious. If there's something we can do that expedites the process or makes it easier, that's great. And just to reiterate, this isn't a crusade against CBD.
This is our community coming together. I mean, I'll give you $500 for the next machine, okay? That's any fears that you may have, and that definitely that guy right there, and I know me, would love to talk to you and show you anything and help you understand that with my oils that I sell in Gulf Shores, Foley, I'm a wholesaler, I'm also a retailer, that a world-renowned doctor makes my products, and I know that it's A1 stuff, and so that we would be the people that you would want to support.
we're not going to try to fight the state law. We're not against you. I think we just have to do what we do as our city. And right. We're going to stand firm on who we are as a city, and we're going to just make sure we do it right as Orange Beach.
But I would think as a wholesaler and as a retailer, what we're trying to do would actually be to benefit y'all, because all the knockoffs would be eliminated if everybody required that the stuff be verified that's sold within that city limits. Then you know you're not going to have some cheap knockoff competing with you and driving the price down.
And it is my concern right now as to what's being sold over there at the...
I don't blame you one bit.
And what is going to be done about that tomorrow?
There's nothing tomorrow.
The worst thing you can do is come up here and threaten us. Worst thing.
No, not at all. I'm just asking. No, I'm saying... These products, they are out there. I know. I can read. I see. I know the companies that are doing it. It's not me threatening you. It's me trying to help and be a part of the community.
We're not going to do anything tomorrow. We're going to take this and take it under consideration. The license that went through fell through the cracks. Didn't know it was CBD oil. This one came up, and we'll analyze it, and we'll probably handle both of them fairly as we move forward. But we're not going to react. We're going to respond.
Yeah. Let me give you one more scenario. Again, in healthcare. So I know how desperate people that are in pain become to find something that alleviates it, and they'll buy anything. If someone, some anecdotal evidence or some anecdotal remark is made, and it's like Ms. Clark, if she knows CBD oil works for her, and all of a sudden there's frauds everywhere, how does she know she's getting what she says she's getting, except to have a vendor that is verified and protects that? But she knows that, but somebody passing through may not. Or somebody just moved here. So that's my crusade, is to make sure that if it's going to be sold, what it says is in it is in it. Because having been in the supplementation industry, I know how many fakes there are out there. So that's the big thing for me.
We had a similar situation to this with vaping.
Yeah.
And we had to figure out where we were going to stand on vaping, because it was reactionary instead of responsive, kind of across the board. And we had to just kind of take a deep breath backwards and go, how are we going to handle it? And it's very similar.
And so I get, for me and my business, and the fact that I am already selling to a large amount of your community as far as within the people who are using the products, what do I tell them when they come into my store as far as how they're going to be treated, if they're pulled over by any officer with my products on them? And is that moratorium is into, no, CBD is illegal in this city, or hemp products illegal in this city?
All we're going to do is do a moratorium on any more business licenses until we decide, come up with an ordinance that accomplishes what we feel needs to be accomplished to protect the community. Mm-hmm. That's all we want to do.
And then for me and my business, because I do get calls for my products to be into new businesses as a wholesaler. So if the Tom Thumb down the street, they won't. But I do have others that I've actually got to go see or are asking me to come and see them to show them my products, to have them in Orange Beach. What do I tell them? Are they still allowed to purchase my products that I'm a business in Alberta? Are they allowed to purchase my products?
We haven't changed any ordinances or changed anything tonight. If I was going to go buy something tomorrow at one of your stores elsewhere, I would at least come back with a receipt and a sealed bottle and a proof and try to sell my story after what I heard tonight. And if you're going to take the risk, take the risk. But, I mean, is all we're debating here as we sit is the business license.
Right.
And I think as a result of that, we will probably communicate with the police chief and see how we move forward. But we surely can't give that answer sitting here, not after just an hour of discussion on it.
I would bet very few people know. I didn't know that if I had a bottle and they checked it and it was came back positive, I got arrested. I never knew that. I had no idea.
Heard it with Summerdale. I heard it on the news. That's all I knew about it. Yeah. Two weeks ago?
And the police officers are faced with many decisions in that regard as to what's reality of what is happening. Yeah. Yes, that is true. But they're not all getting arrested.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all for your input. It's helpful.
Anyone else?
As a citizen who doesn't use these products because of the possibility of an arrest, and who has, as Yoni can tell you, what's my biggest complaint always? Insomnia, right? When you're going forward and coming up with your ideas, I would really love some clarity on enforcement for the citizenry while you're thinking about it already and thinking about it. Because there are some of us that probably aren't using it because of our jobs and our particular career and profession or just environment. And we don't want to have anything on our record, ever.
I can promise you, after hearing what I've heard tonight, I'll have some in my cabinet tomorrow. Because I'm going to find out if it works. I've got authorization.
So you bring
up
an incredibly valid point.
Yeah.
We drug test in the city. Mm-hmm. If we pass an ordinance that says you can sell this, and yet we drug test every one of our employees, but we also will test you if we think you're coming in drunk.
Mm-hmm.
We sell alcohol over the city. So we're going to have to see if we do that and someone has CBD oil and they fail a test, do we fire them? I mean, it opens a whole new can of worms.
Absolutely. And it's also a situation of there are people who are going to be able to get away with things if you allow, and there are people that are going to be restricted from things if you don't allow. So it's
a decision.
Drink it?
It's a do you rub decision. It on? What do you do with it?
There's a bunch of different ways. You can apply it through your skin using a stoppable. There's nasal inhalers. There's facial creams. There's body lotions.
What happens on the drug test, like we drug test our employees? What happens if they're going to fail it?
Yeah, because it would show a positive presence.
You can test the THC levels.
That's the challenge. Like the field test is yes or no. And then depending on what type test we have is it may or may not tell you the levels, and that's the problem.
Plot deepens.
If you do a blood test, though, you can actually test for the amount of THC in the system. So that will tell you, because cannabis is over 20% THC. This
And we don't do blood on,
yeah,
on the random.
We do urine.
Urine and sometimes hair.
Chronic follicles. Six back surgeries and 4D surgeries and multiple others. I've had doctors recommend it, and I am not willing to try and risk my job.
Risky.
Yeah. And
that's sad.
That's a very sad situation.
No, but it's real. But we have to. This is why I said it.
I love my job.
Well, but that's, you have to understand, when we make a decision, how many different layers it has to it, what we have to take into effect. And that's why it's best sometimes for us to take a deep breath and give it as much analyzing as we need to.
Yes.
Yeah.
John, that's a great point.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff, you know my history of everything, yep, I've been through. You've walked alongside me. And I live at a heightened level of pain. I rock on at a 7 at all times. I'm not willing to take that chance, my man.
I know. I get
but
it.
There are some people that get prescribed an opioid, and then 2 months later they're addicted, and it's far worse.
I have pulled myself
far worse
off multiple, Lord, not that I was mentally addicted, but doctors had me on Lortab, morphine, methadone.
Sure.
And I personally pulled myself off of all those and decided instead to live in pain rather,
yeah,
than to not be able to hold a thought.
So here's what I wouldn't want: you living in pain, if CBD oil will make a difference just because of our drug test. So how do we fix that problem?
Yes.
So that's my point. That's what this,
yeah,
is all about.
I think we need to figure it out.
Too. There's no,
yeah,
way to get addicted to, right, it. It's not psychoactive. The 0.3% is not enough of the Delta-9 THC to allow you to get any psychoactive,
yeah, effect. But if he's an employee and he's drug tested and he's positive, then it's mandated X, Y, and Z happens.
Yes, sir.
And that's unfair to him. But we've actually had that situation happen with somebody with marijuana with chronic back pain. And it puts us in a no-win, draconian, mean-spirited situation. And I'm about as anti-drug as it gets. But when it comes to chronic pain, I have all the empathy in the world. I get that. So we just need to look at everything. I mean, you just...
I'm getting chronic hunger right now.
Yeah. But anyway, guys, again, this is not draconian. It's not to be vindictive. It is only to try to do it the right way the first time. And I hope y'all understand that.
I understand that.
I promise you.
KBR is a $500 billion a year company. I work for it. They have very specific things. They drug test all the time. And if you divulge you're taking something for medical reasons and the level that you're talking about, they have it set greater than, and there's a number. It tells you if you're a chronic overuser of marijuana or whatever else. There are companies that you can call. And KBR would be a good company to call. They have very specific drug tests.
KBR?
KBR. Okay. $500 billion a year.
Okay.
And if I can get you the phone numbers of whoever you need to call. I just need to find out who it is right now. I've retired for 5 years.
We'll take any information we can get.
Okay.
Because we do want to.
But companies do address this thing that you're talking, yeah, about right now. But you got to be upfront. If you're taking something, and I had some people working for me that were taking things, they divulged it before the drug test, mm-hmm, and went through HR and did all that stuff.
And documented it prescription-wise.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Well, I am with Jerry.
All. Thank you, David.
The CBD oil alleviate hunger, does it?
That's right.
Let's knock it out. Good thing we're not talking about golf carts tonight, right?
Is that next?
Like everybody's head came up.
That'd be a full chamber also.
Okay. I think we hit CBD oil enough. Resolution appointing members to the Board of Adjustment. Kit, what are we talking about? Board.
Does everyone want to come back?
I didn't know you were even up. Okay.
She's up, and we have a vacancy that needs to be filled.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take care of that.
Renee Everly has two persons that have expressed interest in being on the Planning Commission, but a lot of times the Board of Adjustment is a good starting point.
Okay.
And she can provide you those two.
I think Tina Diaversa is one that has requested.
Yeah. Who's the other?
The other is a gentleman. I just talked with him the other day, but first time I've ever met him.
Can you send us a bio on both of them, please?
Yeah. But what I recommend, and I told this gentleman the same thing, is if someone's been coming to council meetings and planning commissions for 2-3 years, then I would think they move to the top of the list.
You Jack agree? And Jamie are here for the first time.
Yeah. You want to be on the Board of Adjustment, Jack?
No, I'd like to talk
for. Okay. So get with, will you get everybody, Kit, please, a copy of the resumes?
Yes.
Renee's got them. I'm sorry, Renee. Okay. All right. That good with y'all?
Yes.
Okay. Resolution appropriating fund to Mako Academic Arts, $67,000. That's the balance, I think, of the 165. Resolution appropriating fund to Baldwin County Board of Education, teacher and coach's salary not to exceed $60,000. That's the enhancement money. Resolution authorizes execution memorandum with a wharf.
What was
Marina.
This? Yep, okay.
Y'all, everybody good with that? Resolution authorizes sole purchase 30 horsepower submersible pump. Sole purchase of a 15 horsepower submersible pump. Y'all good with that?
That's why Mr. Hartley has graced us tonight.
Yeah.
That's the exact reason.
Oh, Mr. Hartley's here.
No comment.
I had lost you there for a minute. I thought you'd done left.
Resolution establishing an amnesty program for delinquent water, wastewater sewer accounts. Ford's worked on that to deal with all the, it's not that many, but I think we have a plan to fix that. Resolution amending the employee's pay plan to reclassify certain jobs. Everybody talk with Vicki about that?
There's a variety. They're highlighted in your information. And what I would say on this is where we're going to add an additional, probably something in the nature of a grants coordinator, grant specialist, something in there under the salary role. And so we'll add that to what you already see on that list for next Tuesday.
Resolution authorizing execution of a lease agreement with Parks and Recreation Department, William Scotsman, portable classroom, expect excellence program, $27,000 for 9 months. We are out of room, and we're expecting from the number of kids that are coming in, moving here, we expect 350 kids, possibly an expect excellence in the fall. But sharing the weight room now with the 7th through 10th graders, we have limitations on the other rooms. We can bring in for $27,000 two portables that would take care of our issues, hopefully through the next year and until we got our gym built. I think it was I'd expected it to be more than that, but we desperately need it. Are y'all good with moving in that direction? Okay, we're going to put it on that east lawn over there next to Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, ordinance annexing the Burkhauer property into the city of Orange Beach. Everybody know what we're doing there? Love the works. Ordinance amending Chapter 74. Ordinance of the City of Orange Beach, additional regulations pertaining to establishment of sewer accounts, rates, and the collection of delinquent charges. Anybody got questions for Ford on that? Okay, reminder, public hearing, first reading of ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Cypress Village, Lot 50, West Setback, July 16, 2019. Good with that? All right. Anybody else got anything they want to say about anything?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Who is it?
Name and address.
Yeah, who is?
I need some CBJ oil or something right now.
His name is Alan McElroy.
Alan McElroy, 4688 Walker Avenue. I want to say this. Thanks to this administration, I come to these meetings to see what you're doing. I was ready to leave before you got through here tonight, but I'm still here. Thank you, each one. There is some individuals putting out information that's just not right. And I appreciate this administration and what you're doing, each one of you. And I don't like this when if somebody has something to say, they ought to have been here tonight to say something about it instead of putting it all over the world, okay? And I'm supporting you, yes. We have a lot of money in Orange Beach. I thank God for it. We're going to have another hurricane one of these days, and we don't know what it's going to do to us, but we're going to have one. I've been down here, and I went through Camille and Frederick, all of them. And keep up the good work. We're going to stick together and do a good job. And the reason I'm saying this tonight, I want people here, if you got any doubt about what these people are doing, look into it and see, because they have a lot of things. There are people who call them up, just talk to them, call to a councilman or mayor, whatever. It's a lot of work there, and they are doing a good job, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
Mr. Jeffries.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm glad we got that recorded, Alan.
Bill Jeffries, 4688 Walker Avenue. I do not live with Alan Michael. I come to you as a user of an uncontrolled substance for 30 years. I've taken enough of it probably than my body weighs. Fish oil. It's uncontrolled. You know who? You know who's my best tester? Miss Jeffries. When she washes my clothes, she can tell you how good the fish oil is I'm taking. What I really want to talk about real quickly is the sound ordinance. Does it apply to the waters within the city limits of Orange Beach?
The what?
The water. Does the sound ordinance apply to the...
On the waters, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
There is one particular boat that patrols in the late afternoon and evening that is playing a rap music that if the words on that, from that recording, were on a T-shirt, you, Tony Kennan, would personally kick him out of town.
I wouldn't hit him, though.
I tell you, I cannot get close enough to him to get the tag, the number on him, but all we've got to do is go out there at night. I mean,
we know the boat. We thought we had him over 4th of July weekend. We know exactly who it is. Chief knows who it is, and we will get them, I promise you. I hate to sound that way, but it is the most vulgar lyrics you can ever imagine.
Absolutely.
Disgraceful.
Thank you.
It is.
Thank you, Bill.
But thank you for that. I'm glad there's someone out there that sees and hears some of the things we hear. So. But, yeah, I think it's the big red boat. Anyone else? Anything else? Well, the reason this is such a bad, the boat rides around the island where all the kids are and just blaring this stuff out, and it's very vile. And it's very vile toward our police department, too. Very specific. So.
We hear from our unit sitting out having dinner, and they're down in Terry Cove, Back Bay. Yeah. What's that, 400 or 500 yards away from me, and I can hear every word?
Yeah.
We'll get them, Mr. Jay.
Yeah. It's a
thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
I'll go out there and sit until he comes by and get tagged on top, and I'll be the one to file the complaint if that needs to happen.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.